Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, class, November 6, 2022, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We finished the first paragraph of verses 1 through 5, the results of justification. And now that brings us to the next paragraph, verses 6 through 9, which is the much more of justification. So, Romans 5, 6 through 9, the much more of justification. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Well, we completed the first paragraph, verses 1 through 5, and I was looking forward to teach this ever since my aneurysm hurdles that I ran over, and all the time I had studying, and this was the first time I'd ever gone into this paragraph and to see the phenomenal truth that was there. And I was looking forward to teaching this, chomping at the bit to get back in the saddle and communicate that. Now I have. Now it's done, and I think I'll go home. I mean, nothing. Romans 5, 1 through 5, we studied the four results of justification. Result number 1, verse 1, therefore, because we were justified by faith, imputed with the righteousness from God, and declared to be righteous, we have peace with God. Peace with God, reconciliation. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Result number 2, verse 2, the first half. By the agency of whom the Lord Jesus Christ, we have also obtained access. This is access into the presence of the living and true God. By means of faith, faith in Christ, which is the mechanics of justification. Result number 3. Into this grace, in which grace we stand in the past, with the result that we keep on standing forever. And so we keep on boasting in confidence of the glory of God, the essence of God. Result number 3, eternal security. And that brought us to result number 4, verses 3 through 5. Result number 4, the Establishment of the grace pipeline. At the moment you place your faith in Christ, God imputes His righteousness to you. And with the justice of God on one end and the imputed righteousness of God in you on the other end is this grace pipeline. It's a grace pipeline for blessing. And in this paragraph, the blessing that's focused on is the blessing, suffering for blessing, which develops four fantastic virtues of Christ in your soul. That's verses 3 through 5. Verse 3, and not only this, but also we keep on boasting, glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing. By the way, for those who just came in, we're in Romans chapter 5. Romans 5. And not only this, but also we keep on boasting, glorying in our sufferings, suffering for blessing, because we, spiritually adult believers, we know that suffering for blessing produces perseverance, courageous endurance. And perseverance, courageous endurance, produces or brings about proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness. And proven character, demonstrated grace righteousness, produces or brings about hope, absolute confidence. Especially hope 2 and hope 3, greater grace blessing for time and greater grace blessing for all eternity. And hope never disappoints, because love for God, virtue love, has been poured out in our hearts by the agency of the Holy Spirit. That's the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, who was given to us, the universal indwelling of the Holy Spirit, to every church age believer. Well, Romans 5, 1 through 5, the results of justification. Now that brings us to Romans 5, verses 6 through 9, the much more of justification. In fact, all the rest of chapter 5 is made up of four much mores. So we have in Romans 5, 6 through 9, we have the much more of justification. In Romans 5, 10 through 12, we have the much more of reconciliation. In Romans 5, 13 to 17, we have the great parenthesis, verses 13 to 17, the parenthetical much more. And then in Romans 5, verses 18 to 21, we have the much more of grace. So the rest of chapter 5 is much more, much more, much more, much more, much more. Romans 5, 6 through 9, the much more of justification. By way of introduction, in this paragraph, the human race, mankind, is described four ways. And this is the human race. When we come into the world, we come into the world physically alive but spiritually dead. And it's looking at mankind, the human race, as unbelievers. We come in as unbelievers. We have no relationship with God. We have no fellowship with God. We are spiritually dead and totally depraved. And the Bible describes what we are like. And in this paragraph, we have the human race described four ways. I'm going to give you, I know you just love the Greek. Okay, maybe you don't. I love the Greek. We have here, the first word is described, so the human race, mankind, in as an unbeliever, spiritually dead, totally depraved, described four ways. First of all, with the word osthenes. Osthenes, A-S-T-H-E-N, long E-S, osthenes. Now, osthenes means weak, powerless, hopeless, helpless. And that's Romans 5, verse 6. We have osthenes. The human race, we are born into this world, physically alive, spiritually dead, and we are born asthenes. We come into the world asthenes. We're weak, we're powerless, we're hopeless, we're helpless, meaning there is no way by our works or ability or talent that we can get to heaven. There's no way we can create and form a relationship with the living and true God by who and what we are, by what we do, because we are weak, powerless, hopeless, helpless. So if we're ever going to have a relationship with the living and true God, if we're ever going to have fellowship with the living and true God and eternal salvation to live with Him forever, it can't be with us. It has to be with God. He does the work. And He did. And that's Operation Grace. The plan of the cross and salvation. We were, God knows that we were weak, powerless, hopeless, and helpless. So He in His amazing grace, Operation Grace, provide the solution. That's the first word, asthenes. The second word that describes the human race or mankind is asabes. That's A-S-E-B, long E-S, asabes. And asabes means godless. We come in, we're godless, ungodly. That's in Romans 5, verse 6 also. Asabes, we are born physically alive, spiritually dead. We are godless, we are ungodly. Then the third one, word that describes the human race, is hamartolos. H-A-M-A-R-T, long O-L-O-S. Hamartolos. Hamartolos means sinners. The human race, mankind, is born. We are come into the world as sinners. That's Romans 5, verse 8. So in verse 6, we're asthenes, weak, powerless, hopeless, helpless. In verse 6, we're asabes, godless, ungodly. In verse 8, we are hamartolos, we're sinners. And then number four is ekthros. That's E-C-H-T-H-R-O-S, ekthros. And ekthros means enemies. Who are we the enemies of? We're the enemies of God. That's the human race of mankind. So we're described. Here's mankind. We got a problem. Hello, Houston, we have a problem. And the problem is that the problem with mankind, we are asthenes, weak, powerless, hopeless, helpless. We are asabes, godless, and godly. We are hamartolos. We are sinners. We are ekthros. We are enemies of God. We got a problem. How are we going to ever have a relationship with the living and true God and eternal salvation? Well, it isn't going to be by our ability, by our talent. It isn't going to be because we're really nice. Now, I know I got a lot of nice people here. I don't like the word nice, frankly. I think nice sucks. So if you want to say, malign me, just tell me Pastor Olson's nice. I'll probably punch you in the nose. But that doesn't mean you have to say, I think Pastor Olson's an asshole. You don't have to do that either. So just so we're on the speaking terms here. So by way of introduction, a couple of things. One, to understand Operation Grace, God's plan for salvation, the cross, you have to understand two things. To understand Operation Grace, the cross, and God's plan of salvation for mankind, You have to understand two things. First of all, you have to understand who and what we are, mankind is. And secondly, you have to understand who and what God is. So you have to understand who and what we are, and you have to understand who and what God is. Point two, knowing the reality that the whole human race is asabase, weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, asabase, ungodly, hamartolos, sinners, ekthros, enemies. Knowing this reality, that that's what man is really like, then through Operation Grace, the cross, God provides the solution for all of that. He provides the solution and the hope of having a personal relationship with the living and true God through faith in Jesus Christ. What's the mechanics of salvation? What's the mechanics of justification? Faith in Jesus Christ. What are we believing in? We're believing in the finished work of Christ on the cross. Christ did all the work. We can't do it. You might do a million good works, 2 million, we'll even throw in a billion. All of those human good works do not qualify you to get yourself into heaven. What are we placing our... Who did all the work? Jesus Christ did all the work. God the Father designed the cross, Operation Grace. God the Son freely, from His own free will, went to the cross, took the sins of the world in Him, and the judgment for those sins, so that God can offer a gift. And God is offering this gift to the whole human race, to everyone, even to all of you who are weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, ungodly, sinners, enemies. God offers a gift, which is eternal life, through simply believing in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did all the work. Three, you have to know that God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. This makes up, well, the Bible used the word, and there's nothing wrong with the word, it's a great word, holy. And holy is a great word, holiness is a great word, as long as you know what it is. And that emphasizes the integrity of God. And the integrity of God is made up of two attributes, the absolute righteousness of God and the perfect justice of God. And that makes up the holiness of God. Yes, God is holy. And you have to know who and what God is, that God is righteousness and justice. He is a holy God. And a holy God cannot allow sinful man into heaven. Four. So God, in His infinite and matchless grace, designed Operation Grace. Operation Grace is the cross. God the Father designed a plan for salvation, and He would love to see every single person in the whole world have a personal relationship with Him by simply believing in Jesus Christ. So God, in His infinite and matchless grace, designed Operation Grace, the cross, where the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. He took our place and paid the penalty for all the world's sins. Every sin ever committed by anyone from Adam all the way through to the end of human history, all the sins of the world were poured out on Jesus Christ and judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. Having paid the penalty for the world's sins, God is free to offer a gift, and the gift is eternal life to anyone, any place, anywhere, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. That's it. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. 5. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin on the cross. 6. God the Father loved the whole world with infinite virtue love. Now we are studying this. We're going to be studying this in greater and greater detail in our Thursday night class in 1 John. And it states in 1 John 4 again and again that God is love. You'll see the phrase, God is love. And the emphasis in that whole chapter, yes, God is love, but what is he saying? God is virtue love. Yes, he is love, and that love is virtue love. And that virtue love in that entire chapter 4 is talking about emphasizing virtue love is made up of three parts. There's personal love for God the Father. There is impersonal love for all, and there is occupation with Jesus Christ. Now, when it says God is love in 1 John 4, it is emphasizing God has impersonal love for all mankind, for the entire world. And where he has that impersonal love for the whole world because he is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. So he loves the whole world with impersonal love. And that motivated him to design Operation Grace, the cross. Turn over, most of you know the verse. John 3:16. Y'all know John 3:16? This is known even by, used to be on football games, there was a fellow in the stands and he was known as John 3:16. He looked like a clown, but anyway, he had John 3:16. So at least that got on TV. Today, who knows what gets on TV. John 3:16. For God loved the world so much. This is God the Father. God the Father loved the world so much. Impersonal love for all mankind that he gave his uniquely born son. He sent his uniquely born son from heaven to earth on that very first Christmas to take on true humanity. Why? To go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. For God loved the world so much. This is impersonal love. This is God the Father's impersonal love for all mankind. That he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That is the gift of eternal life. That same eternal life that God is in his very essence, now you have that eternal life. You will live with him forever and ever. Turn over to Romans 5:8. We're in Romans 5. We'll be getting here. Romans 5:8. This is the much more. The much more of justification. Romans 5:8. But God, this is God the Father, demonstrates his own love for us, impersonal love for the whole world, in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died as a substitute for us. He took our place. He took the punishment that you deserved. He paid the penalty for all of your sins once and for all by his work on the cross. So point 7, God the Father's infinite impersonal love for all motivated Operation Grace, the plan of salvation, the cross. Point 8, the Lord Jesus Christ's infinite impersonal love for all motivated him to willingly carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father. Not only did God the Father love the world with impersonal love for all, the Lord Jesus Christ loved the world with impersonal love for all. And how did he do that? He willingly, when the Father designed Operation Grace, God the Father designed it, God the Son, Jesus Christ, said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that was absolutely amazing. He said, willingly, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And that meant he would have to leave heaven and leave glory. He willingly said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." It meant that he would have to humble himself and take on true humanity. And he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." It meant that he understood that he would be rejected by his own people and treated as a common criminal. And he said, "Yes, sir, I will do it." He recognized the fact that he would be laughed at, mocked, ridiculed, spat upon, thorns crushed on his head. But he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." He recognized he would be beaten to the point his closest friends could hardly recognize him. And he said, "Yes, sir, I will do it." Willingly. He said, "Yes, sir," knowing he would have to carry his own cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull. And he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." And he said, "Yes, sir," knowing that when he got to the cross, he would be crucified. And he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." But the most amazing part of all, he said, "Yes, sir," knowing that while he was on the cross, God the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world, pour them out on him, and judged them in him. He knew that. He knew the incarnation plan. And knowing that, he said, "Yes, sir, I'll do it." What is that? Impersonal love for all. God is love. Yes, he is. But most people don't have a clue as to what that means. God is virtue love. God the Father has impersonal love for the whole world when we are at our worst. And so he designed Operation Grace, the cross. Jesus Christ had impersonal love for the whole world. And so he willingly went to that cross, took our sins, and took the judgment for them. That's impersonal love for all. Turn over to Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus Christ is at Gethsemane. And while he's there, he is concentrating on the incarnation plan that God the Father has for him. He's thinking about the going to the cross and what's going to happen when he goes to the cross. He knows that the Father will pour out the sins of the world on him. He knows that he will be judged for those. And so in verse 39, going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground, and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup," what is this cup? The cup of the sins of the whole world, "be taken from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And what is the Father's will? The incarnation plan of the cross, Operation Grace, to solve mankind's problem of sin. And then over in verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, If it is not possible for this cup, the cup of the sins of the world, to be taken away unless I drink it, that is the sins of the world poured out on Christ and judge in him, may your will be done. Your will, sir. He willingly, when the Father designed Operation Grace, he willingly said, yes, sir, I will do it. And he did. And because he did, the whole world has a hope. The whole world has a hope. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God would love to see everyone in the whole world have a personal relationship with him forever and ever in heaven. It's possible. He designed Operation Grace, the cross. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. And now God offers a gift to everyone, anyone in the whole world. And when they, from their own free will, believe in Jesus Christ, that's it. Not faith plus works. Just simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you receive the gift of eternal life. That's God's virtue love. 9. Salvation is by grace. And that means man is absolutely nothing. Man is weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, ungodly, sinners, enemies. Man is absolutely nothing, but God is everything. And that means salvation is by grace. Not who and what we are, who and what God is. And you simply place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross for you. 10. Man comes into the world with spiritual death and total depravity. Weak, powerless, ungodly, enemies, sinners. Man comes into the world with spiritual death and total depravity. Weak, powerless, ungodly, enemies, sinners. 11. God, in his infinite, impersonal love for all mankind, provided a salvation to mankind's problem of sin and the hope of eternal salvation. God, in his infinite, impersonal love for all mankind, based on his righteousness and justice, provided a salvation, a solution to mankind's problem of sin and the hope of eternal salvation. 12. We can have an eternal relationship with the living and true God because of Operation Grace, the cross, through simple faith in Jesus Christ. We can have an eternal relationship with the living and true God because of Operation Grace, the cross, through simple faith in Jesus Christ. That's the introduction to Romans 5, 6 through 9, which is the much more of justification. All right, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, we always start with the King James, and this is weak. For when we were yet without strength, this is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the adverb eti plus the present active participle of ame with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego and the genitive plural of the adjective asthenes. All right, the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Gar. You didn't know God was a pirate, did you? Gar is an illative gar, introducing a reason. It's correctly translated for. And then the adverb eti. E-T-I, eti, is a temporal adverb. Here it refers to the past. In other words, our status as unbelievers. And you can translate it still or yet. And then we have this phrase, which is a... Well, I get a kick out of these things. I probably have to wake some of you up when I put this up here. On tone... Hamon, I better go down here. Asthenon. Now, what do you notice about this own? That's long O, and that's the genitive plural. Own, long O, N. Own, long O, N. Those are all in the genitive plural. Wahoo! Yeah. Yeah. What this means is that this is a genitive absolute. And the genitive absolute is one form of a circumstantial participle. And antone is the present active participle of ami with the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. And it brings in someone not already found in the sentence as a subject of the circumstantial participle. The personal pronoun ego, we. And we here refers to the whole human race. We's we, ain't we? The whole human race in the status of being an unbeliever in spiritual death. The circumstantial participle is temporal. You would translate it for while we were still asthenes, or for when we were still asthenes. And now we have... Asthenes. A-S-T-H-E-N long E-S. Asthenes. All right. Literally. Point one is literally it means sick or ill. That's the literal translation of asthenes. Literally it means sick or ill. In a way, the whole human race comes into the world, we're all sick. Point two, figuratively, it means weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless. That's how it's used here. Weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless. Three, asthenes emphasizes the fact that mankind, in his spiritual death, is totally weak and powerless to enter into a relationship with God. Totally weak and powerless to enter into a relationship with God by who and what we are, by what we do, by our works. Totally impossible. So Athanasius emphasizes the fact that mankind in his spiritual death is totally weak and powerless to enter into a relationship with God by what we do, by our works, because of who and what we are. For the whole human race, we are totally helpless, hopeless, and lost. The whole human race, we are totally hopeless, helpless, and lost. Five, as an unbeliever, we are in the status of spiritual death. We are asthenes. And therefore, it is totally impossible for the unbeliever to establish a personal relationship with God by who and what we are, what we do. Totally impossible. As an unbeliever, we are in the status of spiritual death. We are asthenes. And therefore, it is totally impossible for the unbeliever to establish a personal relationship with God. So the corrected translation, for while we were still weak, for while we were still weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless. And then we have, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So now the weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless are further described as ungodly. For while we were still weak, powerless, helpless, hopeless, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. That's the whole human race as we come into the world at physical birth. This is the nominative singular of Christos with the adverb eti plus the preposition kata plus the accusative of kairos plus the aorist active indicative of aposynesko plus the prepositional phrase huper. And always that preposition huper. You want to love that preposition. That's the preposition of substitution. The huper plus the genitive plural of the adjective asabes. So now, in contrast to man who is nothing in the first part of this verse, now we have Christ who is everything. And Christos has been transliterated. Really too bad. Some people never understand. There's the word, Christos. It's been transliterated Christ, but that really doesn't tell you the meaning of the word. Now, Christos, I'm going to play a little game with you. Christos is the equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach. M-E-S-H-I-A-C-H. This also has been transliterated Messiah. And that doesn't tell you what it means either. But Christos and Messiah are direct equivalents. Whatever Christos is the same as Messiah. Messiah is the same as Christos. Now, what do they mean? The anointed one. Anointed by who? God the Father. Who designed Operation Grace? God the Father. And he anointed God the Son to be the one to go to the cross and solve mankind's problem of sin. So Christ is the anointed one. The Messiah is the anointed one. When the Bible says Jesus is the Christ, it is dogmatically declaring that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the anointed one, anointed by God the Father, to be the Redeemer. Christ is the Redeemer. He is the only Savior. Christ is the unique person of the universe, the theanthropic person, the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity, united in one person forever, to go to the cross and solve the world problem of sin. So, one, while man is totally weak and powerless, Christ is infinite strength and power. While man is totally weak and powerless, Christ is infinite strength and power. Two, we are nothing. Christ is everything. We are nothing. Christ is everything. Three, it is totally impossible, impossible for the unbeliever to establish a relationship with God based on who and what the unbeliever is or does. It is totally impossible for the unbeliever to establish a relationship with God. For Christ is the basis for our salvation. Christ is the basis of our salvation. Five, in His infinite power, strength, genuine humility, impersonal love for all, in His infinite power, strength, genuine humility, impersonal love for all, Christ fulfilled the incarnation plan of God the Father that is Operation Grace, the cross. Six, Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by His work on the cross. Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by His work on the cross. Seven, Christ did something for man which man could never do for himself. Christ did something for man could never do for himself. Eight, Christ provided a way for man to have a personal relationship with Him. Jesus Christ said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Only one Savior. Only one member of true humanity who solved the world problem of sin, the God-man, Jesus Christ. Christ provided the way for man to have a personal relationship with Him. The adverb eti is repeated, yet. And so in spite of the spiritual death and total depravity of man, yet Christ died for the ungodly at the exact right time. All right. Well, we're just getting started in this. This is the much more of justification is as exciting as the results of justification. We'll pick this up next time. We'll take a break and we come back to the Lord's table.